Mendelssohn was also an exceptional Jew in that he established social contact with people who were clearly, usually not hanging out with Jews. For example, the dramatist and philosopher Gotthold Lessing, the philosopher Immanuel Kant, the political theorist Christian Wilhelm von Dohm were figures that clearly were not in the social scene of most Jews. But nevertheless, in Mendelssohn's case, they became his friends. They became his intellectual buddies. They hung out together in the social salons of Berlin. They exchanged views, and Mendelssohn was accepted as a kind of peer, as a kind of equal, as a person that clearly could associate with them and be accepted in their midst. Clearly, it was possible then, at least in potentia, if not actually, for Jews to become socially acceptable to Christians. In this case, there was only one. His name was Moses Mendelssohn. But clearly, the notion that this was possible was something that is worth mentioning for Jews who strove for that ideal. In other words, even though it was not realized on the part of the majority of them, at least in the case of Mendelssohn, he had broken the barrier. He had broken the boundaries between distancing Jews from Christians. He was now accepted as part of a circle, and he thought that even though he was Jewish, and he never hid that he was Jewish, they would accept him fully. We will see that even this position, even in the case of Mendelssohn, this proved to be problematic. But at least for a while, there was full acceptance, or at least ostensibly full acceptance. He also gained acclaim for publishing his philosophical works, particularly a work called the Phaedon, which was a work about the immortality of the soul. And indeed, his work on aesthetics and in other areas of German philosophy placed him at the center of a philosophical discourse going on at the end of the 18th century. Clearly, what we are seeing is a remarkable story from Dessau to Berlin. That is the intellectual journey of a Jew educated traditionally and entering the larger stage of European ideas at the end of the 18th century and entering into a world where he was accepted, as I said, as an equal, as a peer, as an intellectual elite in the context of 18th century and early 19th century philosophy. Clearly, when you study philosophy in the 18th century, not just Jewish philosophy, you will encounter Mendelssohn on many fronts. But I should also mention at the same time, Mendelssohn wrote in Hebrew. And his Hebrew works were well known to a Jewish readership. He wrote many commentaries on various biblical books. And what is especially important is a project of translating the Torah into German and writing a commentary on it. This he achieved with a group of other associates called the Beit Ur, that is a special commentary on a German translation of the Bible. But Mendelssohn was quite aware already in his own generation of the loss of faith, of the loss of Jewish literacy, and therefore the need already at the end of the 18th century to take the biblical text, the Hebrew text, which was obviously not known by every German Jew, and to translate it into a German that was accessible and understandable to the majority of German Jews, but also to offer a commentary. The commentary, indeed, suggests his wide learning and erudition, but it is very different from his writing in German. It is written with a deep commitment to a traditional set of values, to a traditional faith. He is indeed taking on scholars, atheists. Spinoza is in the background lurking there as well, who are challenging the very primacy of the Jewish faith. So in many respects, the more conservative Mendelssohn can be seen within the context of his Hebrew writing. The more radical or the more philosophical or the more universal Mendelssohn can be found in his writing in other languages. Despite Mendelssohn's social acceptance, at a certain point in his career, however, he faced a problem where his Jewish identity became an issue. Clearly, there were some in his circle that were still uncomfortable with the notion that a Jew could be a philosophical equal. How is it possible? Wasn't this a contradiction that Spinoza had already pointed out long ago? To be committed to the life of the mind meant ultimately to give up, to relinquish one's own Jewish traditional identity.